Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Steal This Book, first published in 1971 and reissued in a 50th anniversary edition, is Abbie Hoffman's notorious counterculture manual and political provocation. Hoffman, a central figure in the Yippie movement and anti-Vietnam War activism, wrote it as a guide for young radicals seeking to live outside conventional consumer society and resist government and corporate authority. The book combines manifesto, practical handbook, satire, and street-level organizing advice, reflecting the language and urgency of late 1960s American dissent. Its recommendations range from communal survival and protest tactics to deliberately confrontational arguments about property, legality, and moral obligation under an unjust system. Much of its operational advice is historically dated, and some of its positions remain ethically and legally controversial. Yet the book endures because it captures a specific political atmosphere with unusual directness. It is less a neutral manual than a performative artifact of rebellion, designed to unsettle readers as much as instruct them. I will give you key takeaways from this book. The title turns ownership and authorship into political theater. The most distinctive feature of Steal This Book is that its title is not merely a joke or marketing device. It condenses Hoffman's broader argument that property relations in capitalist society are political, not natural, by asking readers to violate the normal transaction between author, publisher, bookseller, and buyer. Hoffman transforms the book itself into a demonstration of the conflict it describes. The title also reflects the Yippie preference for spectacle, provocation, and media disruption. Rather than presenting radicalism as a solemn doctrine, Hoffman makes the object of reading unstable and performative. This strategy helped the book become famous beyond its specific advice. Even people who never read it often know it as a symbol of 1960s defiance. The gesture also exposes a central tension in the work. A commercially published book attacking commerce must still circulate through the market it condemns. That contradiction is part of its historical interest, because the book does not resolve the problem of using capitalist distribution to spread anti-capitalist ideas. Instead, it dramatizes that problem in public. Secondly, Hoffman presents alternative survival as resistance to consumer dependence. A major portion of the book is concerned with everyday survival outside conventional economic channels. Hoffman addresses food, housing, clothing, transportation, healthcare, and communication as political issues, rather than private inconveniences. The underlying claim is that dependence on wages, purchases, and official services disciplines people into obedience. If radicals can reduce that dependence, they can free time, money, and energy for organizing. This is why the book moves between ideology and practical improvisation. It treats the city as a contested landscape in which institutions, abandoned spaces, public resources, and informal networks can be repurposed. In historical context, this reflects the communal experiments, free stores, underground newspapers, and mutual aid projects associated with the New Left and counterculture. The book does not offer a systematic economic theory, nor does it provide a sustainable model for large populations. Its value lies in showing how Hoffman linked ordinary consumption to political control. The practical details may be obsolete or unlawful, but the broader insight remains legible material arrangements shape the possibilities of dissent. Thirdly, direct action is framed as both tactic and identity. Hoffman's activism was rooted in the belief that protests should disrupt normal routines, attract attention, and create new political identities. Steal This Book reflects that belief by treating direct action as more than a method for achieving specific policy goals. It is also a way of refusing passive citizenship. The book emerged from a period of sit-ins, street demonstrations, draft resistance, campus unrest, and anti-war mobilization. And its tone assumes that official channels are inadequate or compromised. For Hoffman, conventional respectability often protects the institutions being challenged, so theatrical confrontation becomes a form of truth-telling. This emphasis helps explain the book's mixture of instruction, slang, mockery, and urgency. It is written for readers who already feel alienated from mainstream authority and need a vocabulary of action. At the same time, the approach has limits. Spectacle can energize movements, but it can also reduce politics to symbolic confrontation. The book is historically important because it reveals how some radicals tried to merge lifestyle, media performance, and protest into a single mode of resistance. Fourthly, the book deliberately tests the boundary between morality and legality. It often treats illegality as a possible ethical response to corrupt institutions. Hoffman argues from the premise that the American state and corporate system have already violated moral obligations through war, exploitation, surveillance, and repression. From that perspective, obedience to law is not automatically virtuous. This argument places the book within a broader tradition of civil disobedience, but Hoffman's version is more abrasive and less restrained than many earlier formulations. He is less interested in respectful appeals to conscience than in practical defiance. That makes the book powerful as a document of rage and dangerous as a guide if read without historical and ethical context. Its central moral question is still significant when institutions are perceived as illegitimate. What forms of resistance can be justified? The book does not provide a careful philosophical answer. Instead, it pushes readers toward confrontation, forcing them to examine whether their ideas about property, order, and citizenship are principled or merely inherited from authority. Lastly, its dated details make it a clearer artifact of 1960s radical culture. Many of the book's practical suggestions belong unmistakably to the early 1970s. Changes in technology, policing, communications, banking, transportation, retail systems, and law have made numerous details obsolete. This limitation is not incidental. It is one reason the book now functions best as a historical artifact rather than a usable handbook. Its vocabulary, assumptions, and targets reflect the political world of the Vietnam era, the underground press, campus radicalism, urban communes, and the broader youth revolt against middle-class conformity. Reading it today requires separating the historical record from the immediate recommendations. The dated material can be revealing because it shows how activists imagined power at street level before digital surveillance, online organizing, and contemporary nonprofit structures reshaped dissent. It also preserves the texture of a movement that valued improvisation, irreverence, and refusal of institutional legitimacy. Compared with more polished political theory, the book is messy and uneven. That unevenness is part of its documentary force. It shows radical culture in motion, rather than after academic translation. In conclusion, Steal This Book is best read by people interested in American counterculture. Radical social movements, protest history, media spectacle, and the political imagination of the late 1960s and early 1970s. It is not a neutral civic manual and should not be approached as a contemporary practical guide. Its immediate instructions are often outdated, ethically fraught, or legally problematic. Its intellectual value lies elsewhere. It shows how a prominent activist translated anti-war anger, anti-corporate suspicion, and countercultural improvisation into a deliberately provocative handbook. Readers can benefit from examining how Hoffman connects everyday consumption with political obedience, how he uses humor and shock as organizing tools, and how he challenges the assumption that legality and morality always align. Compared with conventional books on activism, it stands out because it refuses distance. It does not analyze rebellion from above, it performs rebellion on the page. Compared with later movement histories, it is less careful but more immediate, preserving the voice, slang, contradictions, and urgency of its moment. The 50th anniversary edition is therefore most useful as a historical document and a study in radical rhetoric. Its importance rests not on the reliability of its advice, but on its unmatched ability to embody a confrontational strain of New Left and Yippie politics. If you would like to support Abby Hoffman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.